The AI Today podcast, produced by Cognilytica, cuts through the hype and noise to identify what is really happening now in the world of artificial intelligence. Learn about emerging AI trends, technologies, and use cases from Cognilytica analysts and guest experts.
Hello, and welcome to the AI Today podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Mulch.
And I'm your host, Ron Schmelzer. And wow, AI is continuing to change and update at like the rapid pace. And it's like every day there's a new model, there's a new technology, there's a new tool. It can feel overwhelming, and it is. I think if you're following the space, it's overwhelming. And if you're not following the space, it feels like stuff is just happening all over the place. And I think one of the biggest things that we'd like to know, this is something that we've been delivering a lot of talks, Kathleen and I, at various events. And it's actually kind of nice to do that, to like not only do them virtually, but in person, because you get to feel what other people are feeling in terms of AI. The general consensus is that, you know, AI is obviously here. I mean, it's here to stay. We are past the moment of maybe AI is a flash in the pan. Maybe there'll be a winter. Maybe there might be still a winter, but it definitely does not feel like it right now. And now it's a matter of how do you make these AI tools work for you and do them in a way that makes you better, because people are doing it. And if you don't do it, somebody else will. As someone once told us, it's not a matter of AI taking your job necessarily. It's about somebody who knows how to do AI taking your job. And that is certainly the case.
Exactly. And that's been the theme of the past few interviews that we've had as well. So if you haven't listened to them, I encourage you to subscribe to AI Today. Go back and check out all of our episodes that we've had with people recently, because we continue to hear that theme. And it doesn't matter what industry they're in, whether it's medical, whether it's, you know, general technology, whether it's travel and hospitality, whatever it is, that is the general theme that we are getting. And so as Ron mentioned, we have been talking a lot, which has been wonderful. We've had some virtual presentations, but we've also been fortunate enough to go to in-person events and get to speak and, you know, interact and network and engage with folks, because that's where you get to really have those organic conversations and hear exactly how people are applying AI or how they want to use AI. And we've had some interesting discussions. So it's always a great time. But we wanted to spend some time on today's podcast because the past, you know, maybe year and a half has been all about generative AI. And now that people have had the chance to play with it, figure out how it's going to impact maybe, and, you know, we like to use that term augmented intelligence, how it's going to augment their role, augment their career. And we also talked about how we really need to be learning these tools and technologies. We want to continue on our Prompt Engineering Best Practices podcast and really talk about how to use, you know, what is a prompt pattern, how to use this, what are some of the best practices for prompt engineering, and we want to continue on with that series.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, this is actually really the first episode in the prompt engineering series. So as hinted, we're going to have multiple episodes focusing on this. And the reason why we're focusing on prompt engineering is because generative AI, it's only one of the many patterns of AI. You know, you can't generative AI an autonomous vehicle, although you can do some of it. You can't generative AI playing chess. You can't do generative AI things. You know, generative AI is a particular set of applications within one or a few of the patterns of AI. However, it is the killer app right now of AI. AI has been around forever. It's been around for a really long time. And certainly over the past, you know, 7-8 years, you've heard us talk about all the applications of AI, from things for recognition to pattern anomaly, all that sort of stuff. But nothing has been like generative AI in terms of putting AI into the hands of the average person and giving them the ability to actually get the benefit of AI, not just be some casual user. You're in there. You're actually making this stuff work, right? And the key to generative AI, because the basis of generative AI are these large language models, which generally work on these generative pre-trained transformer models in the case of text-based or diffusion models. The idea is they take your prompt, which is the only way that you can communicate with these models, and they transform it into something else. It could be transformed into a longer piece of text, or it could take your longer piece of text and summarize it into a shorter piece of text, or convert it. We'll talk about all these things, right? But you can also transform your prompt into an image, or transform it into video, or transform it into audio. I'm certainly having a lot of fun right now playing with some of the new music generative apps. But the key to all of it is the prompt. And without understanding the power of prompting, it's very hard to get value from these generative AI applications.
Exactly, because we talk a lot about how if you give it a very average or basic prompt, you're going to get a very average or basic response. And yes, you may be tempted to use this as your new search engine. So we can say, you know, what is the capital of France, or what is the, you know, where is the next Olympics going to be held, or, you know, very general questions that we could be asking a search engine. But that isn't really where the power of these large language models comes. And so we say, you know, you're using the wrong tool for that problem that you're trying to solve. And that's where it's important to understand, okay, what is this good for? One, when should we really be using it? And then if we are going to use it, how do we have these effective prompts so that we're not just getting that general basic response? If anybody's typed into a large language model and they want it to write a piece of material for them for their work, let's just say you need a short article and you'd like it to write a blog post for you, that's maybe 750 words. If you give it a very basic prompt, it comes back with a really basic response, like writing like an elementary school child where, you know, in conclusion, it ends the piece, which if you're reading a blog, a professional style blog, it doesn't sound like that. So again, that's where it's giving you this very general response.
Yeah. And I think sort of the idea here, bringing into prompt engineering, which of course is really more of an art. We say it's really more of an art than a science. I was jokingly posting on LinkedIn that prompt engineering puts the art in artificial intelligence. But I think sort of the idea here is that what the prompt is really doing is it's doing two big things for the LLM to get the output. So if you remember, a large language model, the large part of it is that we are training these models basically on the entire body of written content that we can get everywhere. It's like internet, which includes all the websites and the search engine data and the data from Reddit and the social media. I mean, literally everything, right? Because that's how we communicate. So we're trying to teach the machine to communicate like us. Let's literally train it on all of our digital output. And so on the one hand, we're doing that. And the other hand, we're basically trying to have it generate something of a specific kind of output. So our prompt really has to accomplish two goals. One of those things is it has to restrict the universe of everything that a large language model knows about the world to only the specific things we want it to focus on. And then we also want it to output given a very particular pattern or a formula. We could say, you know, output like, you know, a summary in the style of Shakespeare, but talk about, you know, analytics and, you know, calculus, something, you know, talk about, you know, the latest model of, you know, Apple laptop in the style of this. So when you, those little prompt pieces, what you're really doing is it's in effect like searching. It's like searching through its own large language model to find the little bits of text and the patterns that are the closest match to what you're asking. And if you don't give it much specificity, it'll say, well, in general, this is what people generally want. So you'll get that general answer. And of course, in the case of like trying to answer questions, that general answer may not even be right, or it may be hallucinating. It may be combining bits of data that it should not combine together. So it turns out that there are some best practices in general when we're putting these prompts so that we can get what we want.
Exactly. Because we say that it can't read your mind, right? You know, a lot of people like to think of this maybe as an intern where you do need to prompt it. You need to be providing guidance. And then the more guidance you give, the better the results that you'll get. So there's a few best practices to follow for crafting these effective prompts. One is to be specific. So the, you know, specificity really is key. The clearer your ask, the better that the AI is going to understand what you're asking it to do and the better response you're going to get. You also want to provide context because, again, like we said, it can't read your mind. So you want to provide it just that right amount of information so that it understands what it needs to do. But you don't want to be overly verbose. And also, you do have a context window that you need to be mindful of as well. So, you know, make sure that you are providing the specificity that you need, but don't be overly verbose. There's absolutely no need for that. And then in addition, you also want to provide context. So you want to offer it, again, that right amount of information so that you aren't giving it too little, but then you also aren't giving it too much information. Maybe it's not going to be able to understand what it is you're asking for. And tone matters a lot when you're talking to these systems. So you want to say, you know, whatever tone or style that you want it in. So if you are writing this for a professional audience, you want to say that you're writing a professional report in a friendly tone. If you're writing this for maybe somebody in elementary school, you want to say, you know, write this for someone in elementary school, for a first grader. So it really does matter. And you want to make sure that that voice that the AI has for the piece that it is writing or producing reflects that.
Yeah. And I think sort of going along with that is that the tone might also refer to the kind of output. So we were just talking about here about generating some sort of written piece, but it could be generating code, right? So if you don't say you want to generate code, how does it know to generate code? But the moment you say, you know, write for me a Python function or a JavaScript function, or create for me a CSV spreadsheet or a table, or, you know, so it's not even just sort of expository forms of writing. It could be especially analysis, you know, generate for me a chart or a graph, or you know, tell me what the average is. These are all the things that you need to figure out, because how a machine can't figure that stuff out. So yeah, continue along. Yeah,
exactly. And then also, you want to give examples, because when you incorporate these examples into your prompt, it really helps to clarify the expectations and also help the AI understand the task that you're asking it to do. So that is going to be really helpful. And then also experiment, test, refine. You're not going to get this perfect the first time. That's okay, right? We talk about that art in artificial intelligence. So you're going to need to continue to test and experiment. But if you give those examples, it helps. Also knowing your audience, as we talked about earlier, if you are letting the AI guess who your audience is, it's probably going to pick that very general, neutral ground, which most likely is not where you want this to be. So consider your audience. And then when you're designing these prompts, think carefully about who you want this to be engaging with. If it's the C-suite, identify that. If it's someone that is new to your organization, maybe fresh out of college, this is their first job, that's going to be a much different tone. So, you know, say this is for someone that's just entering the workforce in this industry, make sure that you are, you know, overly explaining certain aspects that they might not have experience with. So understanding your audience really does help you tailor your prompts to their level of knowledge, maybe also cultural context, and also their general level of experience. You can have technical experts, you can have business professionals, project managers, program managers, interns. All of them are probably going to have a little bit different level of understanding, and therefore you're going to need to put that in your prompt so that it helps direct and guide the responses that you get for that. And then also, structure is really helpful. So when you're using structures like parentheses, it helps organize the prompt for clarity. Because again, we're using this as a tool, right? And so it's not going to be able to read your mind. It's not going to be able to understand everything. So the more specific that you are, and the more that you can frame your prompt, the better results you're going to have.
Yeah. And I think the thing about all these aspects of the prompt is that it sounds like this makes sense, because you're trying to create some specific outputs. Like, we're giving somebody instructions to do some tasks. So, but instead of giving it to somebody, we're giving it to machine. If we just went to some random person on the street and said, hey, write me a letter, like, what are they going to do? You know? Now, if it's someone you know, it's like, okay, no, I want to go to this person because they're going to write a particular form of letter. Or if I can say, hey, I want to write you a specific kind of letter, I want to write a collection letter, I'm going to go to my accounting person, and I'm going to give them the data for that. So you could see how this all kind of would work if this was a real person. I'm not sure why people would think that a machine would need any less information than a person to do something with context, especially when it's like almost like you're starting from scratch. You're like, hello, I have no idea who you are, what you want. Tell me what you want. Write some code. Well, that's not very specific. Can you tell me a little more information? What language? You know, what do you want this code to do? Do we have any context here? So all of those best practices may be hard to remember as you started putting it all together. So fortunately, there's a little bit of a shortcut that was developed, I would say, over the past year or so. This is not does not come from the community of data scientists or machine learning engineers or developers. Those folks are thinking about machine learning in terms of all the technical aspects of making it work. These ideas have come out from the people who are trying to use the systems. This idea is of what's called a prompt pattern. So a prompt pattern is really a way of structuring a prompt in a specific way such that you remember all the best practices, basically. And there may be times when we don't necessarily need all the best practices. For example, if I'm trying to answer a question, I don't need to provide examples, you know, or I don't necessarily maybe need to provide the tone because I just want the answer. It doesn't matter if I want it in a particular way or not. Just give me the answer, right? Whereas if I'm trying to do some analysis or I'm trying to render some content or I'm trying to accomplish some other task, these other things may be incredibly necessary. As I mentioned, write a letter. Well, we need a little bit of the other aspects. So there are sort of simpler patterns that can help us with simpler asks or simpler tasks and more complicated patterns that can help us with more complicated tasks. All of these are just really to get the prompt, the LLM system to give us what we need. So you can sort of think of it as a way of sprinkling in all of these little ingredients into our prompt to make sure we get the results. So there's basically, we have a couple forms. I'm going to talk about two of them here, like a simple one and a more complicated one. Let's also dig a little more deeper into the, I would say not more complicated one, just a more enhanced one is the best way to think of it, such that you can get more enhanced results.
Exactly. Because as you continue to play around with this, you'll get better at prompting. And so we just wanted to provide two today. We also understand sometimes it's hard visually, you'd like to see this. So we don't want to go too specific in these prompts, but a basic simple prompt pattern is the RTF pattern. So RTF stands for role, task, and format pattern. And this focuses on specifying the role of the requester or the subject. And so we talked about that's important, right? Because we want to define your role. So say you are a, you know, technical lead of a project with 20 years of experience. And then we also want to say the task. So the task that needs to be accomplished. I need help writing an email to this audience for this specific task, right? You need help writing a letter for saying, you know, what needs to be changed in the project, whatever it is that your task is. And then your format is the output that you want delivered. So in this case, it's an email, or it can be a 500-word blog post, whatever it is. So this pattern really is straightforward and effective for getting precise outputs, particularly when that format is critical. So if it's code or if it's content creation, right? Like I want to write a 500-word blog. That's important, and we want to be specific. So that is a very simple pattern, and it's nice to remember RTF pattern, role, task, format. But sometimes we want to be even more specific, and that's where we can use a different enhanced pattern that provides even greater power, and one that, you know, we like to use a lot ourselves as well, which is called the create pattern. Because it really it focuses on more. So if you're looking for a more robust pattern that we like create. And so we can explain what the create, C-R-E-A-T-E, means.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because it uses the same letter twice, but it means different things. So that's the thing about that's, hey, to create, it's a word, it's easy to remember. So the C part of create talks about the role or the character that we want the LLM system to respond as. You know, respond as a healthcare professional, respond as an experienced program, project manager, respond as like, you know, a high school teacher, or whatever it is. And the reason why we do that, as again, is because what you're doing is you're actually trying to narrow down the universe of all the data that the LLM system might consider. So when you say act as a role, what you're really doing is saying only look at the pieces of data where it's basically been tagged in the system, where the word vectors are associated with this idea of project management or whatever that role is. And it's going to sort of narrow down that universe, which would be really, really helpful. So these next part is the request, which is what are we, now that we kind of know what we're asking, what are we asking the system to do? And the more specific, the better. And later on in this podcast, we'll talk about all the different kinds of things that we can have LLMs do. And it's actually remarkable. And it's not even an exhaustive list. It's kind of funny. The moment you think that you could do everything with an LLM, someone comes up with some crazy idea and said, well, I had my LLM do this. And I'm like, that's wild. I'm surprised it worked, but it worked. So that's kind of neat. So that's the R request part of your prompt. Then the third part is the E examples. The more examples you can provide, the better. Especially if you're doing, say, let's say an analysis task, is something that we actually have had some recent experience with, and you're just giving it like a big sort of munged up, piece of text that's not the cleanest text. But you want the system to kind of go in there and extract information from it. You could say, okay, here is the messy text, but I could tell you that, let's say the first record, this is the name and this is their email, this is the thing or whatever other characteristic is. So if you could find that pattern, there's probably others in this document that follow that pattern. So examples are good. This is why people talk about something called zero shot and few shot approaches to prompts. Zero shot is you just say, do it. You hope it figures it out. Few shot means I'm going to give you a few examples and then you go ahead and do it, right? The third sort of aspect or fourth aspect of create the A is the adjustments. It's like, okay, now that we kind of have examples in the request and the character, what do we want to refine it? Maybe we want to refine it for a specific to consider certain things and not consider certain things. Maybe we want it to focus on particular aspects of data. Maybe we want it to tell it to like format something in a particular way. That sort of relates to the next bit, which is the T part of create, which is the type of output. What is the output we want? Do we want an article? Do we want a summary? Do we want a table? Do we want a CSV? Do you want some code? What is it that we're trying to get? And then the last little bit, the E, is the extras and the evaluation. And that is we can actually ask the prompt to evaluate itself. Say, what did I forget? Maybe you can ask the prompt to say, what's missing? Or how does this rate as a successful answer? Or some extra thing like a criteria for success, like, count how many, if you're telling it to extract the number of records, at the very end, you could say, how many records did you extract and how many records should there have been? It's kind of interesting to ask that question, see what it responds. They may or may not get it right. Keep in mind, they are prone to hallucination and LLMs don't do math. But that being said, you can ask. So the create approach is it's a pretty good general approach to handle sort of more of these enhanced needs.
Exactly. And the reason that we like to present these patterns too, just like with anything, right? We are big advocates of following step-by-step approaches, best practices, methodologies like CPMAI, which we are big advocates of, is because it helps to make sure that you don't forget anything in your prompt. As you're moving along, you can maybe forget to say who is the audience that you're writing this for, or be incredibly specific about the output that you want. And if you say you just want a blog post, it may write a 1,000 word blog post when really you wanted a 500 word blog post. And so it's, written over by double, which is quite a lot, right? And so then you need to go back and refine it. So these prompts really are just those nice guidelines and approaches that you can use so that you aren't forgetting anything in the prompt, and that it's this nice, outline or blueprint or step-by-step approach that you can follow to make sure that you're covering all your bases. So when it comes to deciding which prompt to use and which, prompt pattern to use, we don't say that there is one that's better than the other. It depends on your needs. For those ones that are maybe less robust, we do like the RTF pattern and we've been using that ourselves. But for ones where we need to provide more context, we use the create pattern. So again, it really just is those guidelines because it's important, and again, we always talk about practice, 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 right? The more that you practice, the more you feel comfortable with this, you're going to figure out how best to use these systems and which prompts work for you.
Yeah. So just a few more little details here. If you're really interested in using the create prompt, some tips for you, if you will, to help you be even more effective and efficient, because as mentioned, there's the C, the R, the E, the A, the T, the E, the other E. And thinking about those things. So the first one, when you think about the characters and roles, as mentioned, literally think of it as really as a search, as like you're trying to basically narrow down the universe of everything that's possible. So the more that you can define there, like you could even say like a project manager with 10 years of experience, or you could say, you know, a high school teacher who has had trouble teaching troubled students. I don't know. You could like think of anything, right? Just it's sort of like, it's like searching with Google or whatever. That's also a bit of an art too, right? Over time, people learned how to get better with searches. Because if you type in general stuff, it was the same problem with Google. You get general results. The request part of the create is where things get really interesting because, as I was mentioning, it's almost kind of like an infinite set of things we can ask these systems to do. I mean, I'll just give you a brief overview of the kinds of things that the requests that we can have LLMs do. One is just basic question answering, as Kathleen mentioned. I have a question, give me an answer. So it's going to use the LLM to figure that out. Of course, there's the content generation, write something. We talked about that, articles, scripts, whatever you want. Of course, people are now also familiar with code generation, so we can have it output code. If we give it a piece of the code, it can complete the code. It can write code from scratch. It can help you write a whole thing. Pretty easy. Now, people are starting to be aware that you can use the LLMs for any sort of NLP task around summarization or classification. So you can give it a long piece of text and say, summarize it in bullets, or give me the most important points, or extract all the names from this document, or, you know, whatever the question is, you know, analyze the number of nouns in here, or like, you know, what was missing, you know, whatever. You can do anything like that. Anything you can do with text, you can do with that as an analysis thing. Or classify, is this an invoice, you know, or what category is this document, which is kind of neat because there's already a lot of problems that we were solving with NLP systems. We can use LLMs for very well, right? We can also do for our sentiment analysis, all this sort of stuff. We can also use LLMs for any kind of pattern. It doesn't have to be like with English text. You can upload, say, numerical data, any sort of quantified data, and you could say, spot the outliers or like, you know, find the rows in which this happens. It's kind of interesting because it does treat it like text, but the text may have a quantitative or some sort of analytical value as long as it doesn't make things up, which you have to be very careful with. Or find the anomalies. The other thing we can do is we can have it convert. We can have the LLM system convert from one format to another. Take this big piece of text, convert it to a table, or translate it into another language, or whatever, change the tone. Like, here's some blog post I wrote. It was for, you know, students. Now make it for professionals, or change it and, you know, split it into a series of FAQs. So here I have this long article. Say, hey, generate at least 15 FAQs out of this article. It's almost amazing because the more you start thinking about it, like, wow, you can really have the system do a lot and really be in such a powerful tool. You know, we could do what if analyses, we can help it with brainstorming. And, you know, the other little tidbits here for create is examples are powerful. So try to have a few. And with the adjustments in the tone, it's really about, you know, really trying to have it pay attention or ignore information. And, you know, the more that we can provide specificity here, really the better. As I say, you know, I think my personal opinion with all this stuff, and create is not the only prompt pattern. There's like dozens out there that you can look at that have different ways of providing this sort of stuff, something called races and TCREF and this and that. They're all the acronyms. They all stand for a different thing. But I think, in my personal opinion, I think that maybe schools, elementary schools, middle schools, high schools might actually teach prompt engineering, perhaps at least as like a course or maybe like, you know, a semester or something like that. And they go how to be effective because these tools are just so powerful that, as I said, what's going to separate people in terms of their ability is not necessarily their technical ability, it's just how much and how well they could use this assistant, which is these LLM-based AI systems. So really powerful.
Yeah, we've had some really great conversations about how, in general, AI is going to, you know, transform the way that we work and we live. And we talk a lot about hyper-personalization, one of the 7 patterns of AI. So how can we now have hyper-personalized education? Is this one way to help with that? And so also a lot of schools, when we, Ron and I had been at South by Southwest recently, and we were talking to some educators there, and they said, you know, schools in general, especially in their district, had just made a blanket statement that students were not allowed to use ChatGPT or any of these large language models. And when you make an overall blanket statement like that, you really are taking away the power of this. And also, it doesn't matter. You can say that they can't use it, but they will. And they are. So just saying that they can't use it is you know, really just not addressing the situation. So how can you use these tools to help? We talk a lot about augmented intelligence, right? How can you use these tools to augment that student rather than replacing them and say, use this as a tool. This is how to use this as a tool. This is how to use this to help brainstorm, to help outline your paper. Maybe it can even help write your paper, but now you need to teach how to properly source, have them validate by looking at another reference rather than just, you know, looking at everything that came out of here. So we are super excited about this. If you can't tell, we are going to continue this series. So definitely stay subscribed to AI Today if you haven't already, because this is just the beginning of our prompt engineering series, and we're really excited about it. And also reach out to us if you've been using prompts for your job, if you have questions about them. We love to engage with our audience. Thank you, everybody who's reached out so far. You can email us at info@cognilytica.com. That's info@cognilytica.com. Connect with us on LinkedIn. Follow our page. You can also personally connect with both me and Ron. I know that many of you do, and we'd love to hear from you. We have a weekly newsletter that comes out on the Cognilytica LinkedIn, so make sure to subscribe to that as well. And we really love to hear from you. This helps shape the conversations that we have. This helps shape future podcast ideas. So thank you, everybody who's reached out. And I had mentioned earlier that we love, you know, best practices. And that's why we like the patterns as well, and why we wanted to present on a few today, because it just helps provide that step-by-step approach so that you're not forgetting anything, just like you need when you're running and managing AI projects. So for our listeners who are joining us for the first time and may not have heard us talk about CPM AI, it's the Cognitive Project Management for AI methodology. It helps you run and manage AI projects with a step-by-step approach. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to aitoday.live/CPMAI for our free intro to CPM AI course, which I know many of our listeners have taken. So thank you for that. And if you'd like to get certified, you can also do that as well. We will link to that in the show notes so that you just have to click on it, but you can also go to cognilytica.com/CPMAI to learn more about that as well. Like this episode and want to hear more? With hundreds of episodes and over 3 million downloads, check out more AI Today podcasts at aitoday.live. Make sure to subscribe to AI Today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, or your favorite podcast platform. Want to dive deeper and get resources to drive your AI efforts further? We've put together a carefully curated collection of resources and tools handcrafted for you, our listeners, to expand your knowledge, dive deeper into the world of AI, and provide you with the essential resources you need. Check it out at aitoday.live/list. This sound recording and its contents are copyright by Cognilytica, all rights reserved. Music by Matsu Gravas. As always, thanks for listening to AI Today, and we'll catch you at the next podcast.